Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
Yeah, let's get this show started, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the final cast. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm just an idiot, Brad.
It's Brad, Mr. I Can't Grow Facial Hair.
I know. I look like an idiot.
Brad.
My dad can't either, though. It's in our genes or something stupid. Yeah. I look like a dirty
hillbilly. Instead, dude. bad joke time. So, how's life treating you?
Pretty good.
You were on vacation, man.
Oh, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago already.
I know. Man. Not really. It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and then last week we didn't record because you had a little episode.
Let's not talk about that, dude. It's a private matter. But yeah, man. So Brad and I decided to kind of throw together something so we could get caught back up. And we're going to talk about GoPros. Just as a heads up, my GoPro experience is very, very limited. I've bought them once. I have Hero 8s. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, I've never used them. Well, I take that back. I've used them a few times, but I'm not an expert. But I know you've used them more than I have, so.
Not an expert, but I've paid attention to some of the stuff that's available for people to be able to use. So I'll kind of go over a little bit of how I have mine set up, and we'll kind of go from there, man. So,
sounds good.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
Like I said, I have 3 GoPro Hero 8s and 1 Hero 7. I bought these last year. I want to say maybe last year or yeah. Yeah.
Because they weren't new models at the time, were they?
The Hero 8 was. But okay. I think I caught them on sale. So they were obviously a lot more cheaper. It was like $100 off the cameras. So, and then the Hero 7 was on sale too. So I ended up buying 3 of them and the Hero 8s and then the Hero 7. One of the things, and I can't remember who turned me on to these. The thing I was trying to do was set up to do more video content for Paddle and Fin.
Oh, yeah.
But my personal stuff got in the way last year. Obviously, I took that hiatus off the podcast for a while, and I didn't have access to my computer. So that stuff kind of fell through, and I've been obviously still dealing with the aftermath of the stuff from last year still. So I never kind of gotten – I've hardly fished this year, really, to be honest with you. I mean, I maybe fished like 10 times total this year.
What?
So – yeah, 10 to 15 crazy, maybe. Man. And
I've been out 72 times.
Oh man, I wish I had been too, but it's just been a lot of changes personally going on. So
yeah,
but hopefully next year I could kind of get back on track with, you know, doing more video content for Paddle and Fin. I think that's something that we're sort of lacking a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, we can help grow by doing some short video stuff. So and get some YouTube viewers. And
yeah, Brian mentioned something about starting a new channel too for just random videos like that for Paddle and Fin.
Yeah, wouldn't be a bad idea.
That'd be cool. I'd be down to do stuff like that because I did videos like that for a while just using my iPhone.
Yeah,
I think it was like over the winter.
Yeah, and then, you know, we do the live stuff, but I'm not a big fan of the live stuff just because of it's really hard to fish and be paying attention to comments.
Yeah.
On there. You're trying to engage people because they're engaging you. And then also it's not, you know, we even do the live show, right? And our live show doesn't get a lot of people sitting down and watching it live. And that's how it is for a lot of kayak fishing content, that the live stuff struggles a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, some of the other network stuff will have, you know, a decent one, but you know, even like 100 people watching isn't very much.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I think Scott Butcher bringing in big numbers on his like that. It's like 120, 140.
Yeah, but it's really, when you think about it, it's not that much. You know, right. I mean, when you look at, you know, people who do Stitch, the gaming stuff or whatever, you know, the numbers are
thousands,
aren't really there. But I do think we could gain traction by doing, you know, short fishing related videos, or, you know, or like Brad and Brian and Jay out there doing short hunting stuff and, you know, that sort of thing. Cause I mean, obviously it's something that we were sort of lacking, and I think we could make an improvement there. So that was kind of my goal last year, but I said, it fell through. So,
yeah, I was doing like product review videos, like, you know, 4 to 7 minutes long. And that was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's, I'd like to get back to doing that too. And I think it's something that you and I could try to work on together, is doing that and going out like somewhere nice, you know what I mean? Where we're not like in our driveway or whatever like that. Like,
yeah,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's really cool sometimes to see the rigging videos like that, but where we can shoot some action scenes, that sort of thing, of, you know, whatever product it's being used, you know what I mean? It's one thing to have it just, you know,
somewhere away from all the noise too.
Exactly. Especially for you, because you live on a busy street. So
yeah. Which reminds me, I got home today and there was a lady broke down right in the front of my driveway. So the road slopes into the driveway, and her car just died right in front of the driveway. And it looked like she was about to pull in and pull back out. She sat there for like 2 hours, and I had to park like down the street.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's you live on definitely a super busy street. So, I mean, I told you the story how I almost got hit by a dump truck out there, right?
No.
You know that curb that separates your driveway from the main road?
Uh-huh.
When I was a teenager, I was like probably 18 or 19. I worked for the city of Kettering. And that curb that separates the main road from the side road is notorious for growing weeds on it. And so once in a while, we would be tasked to go out there with the spray truck with some weed control and spray that curb line. And I was walking on the curb line and spraying at the same time. And I kind of like stutter stepped and took a step off right when a dump truck went by.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, like I couldn't have been I was probably like 5 to 6 inches away from the mirror. Like,
that's crazy. Like
it went right over my head. So
yeah, people hit that curb all the time. And I just laugh, because there was one time somebody hit it and you could hear it is boom. I think their tire popped.
Oh yeah, dude, that thing is vicious. It's tall, and it's probably what, like 10 inches, maybe even a foot wide.
Yeah, something like that.
And it's tall too. It's not like a little like slanted like 8 curb. Inches it's tall. Just a big block that runs the whole length of that area. It's a weird setup, really. But anyways, let's hit up the GoPros. So there's a lot of different takes on which GoPro is the best. Obviously, each year they update software, they redesign and come up with better lenses. I don't know which one it is. I know it's a past one. But I remember hearing people talk about how great, like it might've been the Hero 3 or 4. I'm not 100% sure and how great the battery life was. And
I think that was the one I had, the 3. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Like my battery, when I fully charge a GoPro lithium battery, the little ones that come with them, it fully charged reads 50 minutes. And obviously you could probably extend that by going down in the video quality, you know, from like a 1080 to a 720 or whatever. I don't shoot. I have the ability to shoot in 4K, but I don't. For just the 1080 is so pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And looks good anyways. And I'm actually not a giant fan of 4K. I think it looks weird, man. It makes stuff look almost fake when you watch it on TV. Yeah. Like the motion looks weird. It doesn't look natural. And I don't know. It just might be me, but anytime I try to watch 4K, I'm like, it just bothers me for some reason.
No, I completely get what you're saying. Cause I walked into my mom's house one time. She had one of those TVs. I was like, I've seen this movie. It looks weird on this TV.
Yeah, it does. It's definitely I mean, after a while you get used to it and you appreciate it. But for me, just, it saves on disk space. I don't have, like, I have the, you know, like the standard, you know, micro disk that comes with it, and it doesn't hold that much. So one of the things I wanted to do when I set up the GoPros was to externally hardwire them so I could hook them up to my Dakota lithiums.
Yep.
And because I didn't want to change out batteries. And what I found was, and I cannot remember for the life of me who it was. It was somebody on Facebook. I want to say it was Rich Biggie, maybe. I don't know if you know who he is or if you're friends with him. But if you can't see that, I have an aluminum case for this. And it's a waterproof connection right here to externally hardwire it. And it's by 3BR Power Sports. And they're pricey. They're like, I think at the time they were like between $50 and $60 a piece, but these things are like solid, man.
It looks nice.
Yeah. And you still have the ability to utilize, you know, it's got the accessory port right here on the top, and you still have access to the power button and the record button, obviously. And it comes, you can order a different length cord. I ordered the longest one, which was about 60 inches. So it's going to be approximately like, you know, 5 feet long.
Yep.
So it is, I bought two like that, I think. Yeah. So I bought two like that. I was going to do like a chest mount and or a hat mount for the other Hero 8. I have two Hero 8s in the aluminum casing that I would use for the shots that were mounted to the boat. I have this one obviously on the Yak Attack arm. I can't remember what this one's called, to be honest with you. It's the kind of longer portrait, a panfish portrait.
Yeah, I get confused with all of those.
And then I have the boomstick also. And so what I've found I liked was that one that Aaron Steiger used to do. It was kind of like over the shoulder, but off to the side, you know, instead of just directly behind you. And then I would set this one up in front of me. And then I have the Hero 7. And the Hero 7, I actually just have on that old Yak Attack dog bone extension, the one with all the foam. And my plan is to use that for like releases. Mm-hmm. So I could stick it because it's waterproof. Which the camera itself is waterproof. It's just when you try to hardwire it, that makes it, you're opening the port basically. You know what I'm saying? Because it has a rubber piece there that seals it and makes it waterproof. But as soon as if you were to try to hardline the camera basically without that case, it's not going to be waterproof at that point. That's why I bought those cases for it, or the cage, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that was the issue I had when I wanted to do all that too. It's like, how do I keep it waterproof? I don't think back when I had one, I don't think they had all these cases and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so, I don't, now the cameras though are waterproof themselves. So
oh, are they?
As long as the newer ones are waterproof, but it's like I said, as soon as you open the port to put like a cable into it, it's not waterproof then.
Oh, I got you.
So the case has like a gasket and stuff that helps seal that port when you're hardwiring it. That's why I bought those.
I got you.
And,
that's cool.
You know, the thing is I always heard that one thing that GoPro, and this is prior to having the Hero 8, really lacked on was microphone quality.
Yeah.
So a lot of people wore like lapel style with a wireless connection, or they had a hard wire for it. And I mean, I think if I remember correctly, you know, Matt Nelson, Indie Yak Angler.
Yep.
He, you know, records, but he was actually digitally, I don't know if he still does this or not. And if I remember, because I asked him about it, or he...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Either A, I asked him about it, or B, somebody asked him and I read his comments about it. But he actually digitally records his voice separate from the camera and then edits the voice file into his footage.
Yeah, that makes sense because like his voice is so soft spoken.
Yeah, and
I always thought it sounded really good.
It's really calm sounding too, a lot of times. Yeah. What I'd like to do with these is eventually just get a wireless mic, you know, and have it connected to the GoPro. If you remember, what's that company that we were using the microphone at the shows over the wintertime on Ricketts Camera Road or something like that? It's a weird name. Anyways, they make that little boom mic that can go on top of the camera.
On top of like his Sony?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Now, if you remember, Butcher, when those new Yak Attack boomsticks came out, Butcher had his GoPro set up, and one of them had one of those. So you could set that up to do that as well. Now, does it mess with the waterproof, you know, of it? It's possible. But, you know, there are other, you know, you could get external mics like that, you know, whether you want to do a wireless setup or not. The thing, though, that I was really impressed with when I bought my Hero 8 was it had this Hero 7 has it, but they had upgraded that software for image stability, and it's pretty amazing, man. So when I the one time I met up with Ryan over on the Mad River, I had my GoPros with me that day, and I think I shared a video that I edited with you. In the group, and I wanted to see what everybody's opinion of it was, and like how to improve the transitions. And one of the things that I shot was me carting the kayak through the gravel and over the road, and that camera angle held up really, really good. There was shaking still, but not what there should have been. Like it cut it out probably by 80%, just to guess.
Aren't the new cameras, don't they have like some stability type thing built in?
Well,
now?
Yeah, it's software. So it's like, and the Hero 8 had an upgraded version. I think it was called 2.0, like image stability 2.0. And the 7 might have been the first one that had it. And the other thing that I was pretty impressed by was the microphone. Like, it's not the best, but it's sufficient. You know what I mean? It worked a lot better than I had anticipated.
Yeah.
Because me and Mike Grimsley were up near Lake Erie and we fished this little like wildlife area, and it was like a marsh area, and it was super windy that day. And I was able to hear myself surprisingly well in the video. Like it should have been totally trashed, and it wasn't.
Huh. Yeah. That's the one thing I didn't like about the GoPro that I had is just the quality inside the case on my chest harness. Like that mixed with the video quality, mixed with the camera angles, like this is not any good.
Yeah, they're much nicer now. You know, they're expensive. You know, I think when I bought mine, oh, they were running like $399 a piece, something like that.
I figured it'd be more than that.
Yeah. Well, at the time it was like $399, and then I think the Hero 7 was $199 or something.
Yeah.
So, I bought a couple extra batteries, just for the chest mount camera, and then I figured I'd only need like a single battery to do the fish release type stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, it's pretty good quality. I mean, you've seen a couple of the videos that I, you know, messed around with editing wise and, you know, showed it to you guys, and it's pretty good. It does, you know, and this is why I kind of want to change the microphone. Like, so when you have a kayak, obviously you can hear a lot of reverberation of sound through the kayak into the actual camera. So like you'll hear, if you have a pedal drive, you'll hear that. If you drop something, you're going to hear it. You know what I mean? Like you'll hear it, like it, you can hear the boat sound really well.
Yeah. Like, or like the Hobie pedal drive squeak.
Yeah. Like you can
fix it up pretty well.
Like you can hear the Jackson grind of the FD drive. So,
yeah.
And it's not just the sound that you're hearing of it like coming off of it. It's like you're hearing it come through the boat, through the arm, into the camera. Like, it sounds like almost like the microphone is inside your kayak and it,
yeah, I got it
like that. But, so that's one reason I'd like to kind of redo the approach of the audio. But, overall, man, I love the cameras. I love the picture quality of it. It's pretty sharp. You know, the added ability to buy those cases to make it waterproof was a big, huge plus for me. You know, and like I said, I don't know. I can't remember. Or not, at least I know from the 7 up, those cameras were waterproof. So, like, you don't have to hardwire it. Just know that if you're shooting a lot of content, you know, like a whole day's fishing, you're going to be changing batteries like crazy.
Yeah, you know? I wouldn't want to do that. I'd definitely hardwire it too. I think Jay has a video on Paddle and Fin's YouTube of his setup, maybe.
Yeah,
I think I remember, or maybe he talked to me about it. I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe that's something we can do in the future also, is just kind of go through and kind of go over what I have and kind of show people the way I set it up. And one of the things I wanted to touch base on too, and I don't know when this came into effect at all, because I don't know that much about the GoPros, but you know, I kind of wanted to share my experience of what I had. But I learned this from Fluke Master, and he was like, you know, editing is a pain in the butt, right? If you're one person, you're going to go out and you want to shoot the whole day. You're going to have hours upon hours of video footage you want to go through, unless you're really good about flagging, you know, at certain points. And I'm not even, I don't even know my GoPro well enough to know how to flag, you know, a certain time. Yeah. And I'm like, I am not about to try to write this down either. So there's something called a looping mode. And yep, basically what that does is you pick like a certain amount of time for the GoPro to record. And if for those who aren't familiar, when GoPro records, it records in segments. And they run like when you bring up your files to upload, it's like, here's 5 minutes, here's 5 minutes, here's 5 minutes, here's 5 minutes, and so on. You know, that probably increases the longer, but I've always ran mine in looping mode based off of Fluke Master's, you know, his setup. He was like, I didn't want to go through a ton of stuff because there's just tons and tons of dead space, you know, just motoring around in the kayak or whatnot.
Catching a bunch of dinks.
Yeah. Or, you know, and so basically what loop mode does is you can record like a certain amount of time. And then once you loop out that time and you're still recording, it starts to rewrite that first 5 minutes, or say I did 5 minutes, right? So it'll start back at minute one, and those 5 minutes will be like 5 1-minute blocks. And it's going to rewrite over that first minute, and then the second minute, and then third minute, and the fourth minute. So then what you do is you can just constantly record. And when you want to save something that happened, you can shut off the record option. And it's going to save that section of loop prior to that happening, basically. So for whatever event that you wanted to keep.
So if you caught like a really nice fish on camera at like 4:47 seconds, it'll keep recording over the first minute.
Just the first the last minute. One? Yeah, over the previous one. So like you'll probably
so you won't lose that video at all then.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So like when I did was at St. Clair and I recorded that. If I caught a fish and stuff and I got it in the boat, I would say, you know, like GoPro, because mine's voice activated, I'd say GoPro stop recording, and it'll stop recording at that point. So I have the fish catch saved, and you know, a minute or a couple minutes prior to it happening, because really you're not usually fighting a smallmouth or whatever for more than, you know, for more than 5 minutes, really. You shouldn't be. Unless it's super, super deep or something weird, you know, or you're not catching a smallmouth, but a big ass catfish maybe or whatever. But you can lengthen that loop mode. It, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be 5 minutes. You can do it in, you know, 15. I don't remember exactly what each time frame is. So you can do it like that as well. And what it does is it saves your disk space. So you don't have to go out and buy this huge, you know, gigabyte type or however much they are. I don't even know, you know what I mean, offhand. But there's, you know, micro discs that are really, really have a big file thing. And those things aren't cheap. Like when you get up there, man, you're looking at $100 for one of those little discs, you know, for a high quality one.
That's crazy.
They could be cheaper now. Who knows? But I remember like, dude, I do not want to buy, you know, real super expensive ones. After learning how to utilize that looping mode, I was like, there's no reason to change these out. I don't even think I've come close to filling one. You know what I mean? And that's even having them out for a long time. Now, if you want to not mess with that and you are into that, you're going to go through 8-9 hours of, you know, video, then obviously you would want to have a much bigger, you know, memory card. It's in that GoPro. So, but that was my thing. So it makes editing it, dude, it's a breeze. Like,
oh yeah. It just seems like a lot of work. Like, I don't even know. Like, all that work just to have like a couple thousand subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm lazy.
The thing is that what I like about it is it's kind of fun to watch it and catch it. And then you could kind of, the other thing I like to do is kind of be able to critique myself and say, hey, you know, I did that wrong. Like one thing that I was learning that I was doing wrong real bad is I was notorious for dropping my rod tip down. While fighting a fish, you know? And so that was I think even on the video, you can't really hear him, but Grimsley's like, you keep dropping that rod tip, you're going to lose that fish. You know what I mean? Like making fun of me and stuff. Well, it's on video. It's hilarious, but
yeah. It's kind of different with smallmouth though, man. You got to stick out tip in the water sometimes to keep them down.
Yeah. I mean, but you also have tension on it. What I was doing is letting tension out of the line. Oh, you know what I mean? And it was just for a second. It was just something I didn't kind of realize that I was doing was that it wasn't me necessarily dropping the rod tip. It was me not reeling when I did it.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like my timing was off. Yeah, like my timing was off. So when I was going, I would go to try to control the fish a certain direction. I wasn't putting pressure on the fish by reeling in at the same time. So
I've done that before.
Yeah. I mean, everybody does. I don't care who you are, how professional you are. There's going to be times where, you know, it happens and you can keep all the tension in the world on it and keep pressure on that fish and it still throws it.
Heck, there's times where people horse them in and they lose them.
Yeah.
There's tension on it the whole time. So
I mean, I have a buddy who's notorious for skiing his fish. Like I've never seen anybody reel as hard and fast. And it could be like a 19 inch smallmouth just like across the top of the water.
See, that's not any fun, man. it's fun to just freaking let them dig deep. That's the
I don't mind a little fight, but I do try to get my fish in so I don't stress them out super bad, you know. So I will try to get them in as quickly as I can, and I think that's why my timing was off. And that, you know, like if even with somebody telling me that it was, you know, that still doesn't, it was me visually finally seeing it on video that kind of like really helped it. But the whole GoPro thing, setting it up, man, I'll tell you, like with the Yak Attack, that new mounting way, what was it? The lock and load system. So those things stay on my kayak and are so easy to move. Yeah. Like, so setting up the cameras does not take any time at all. And then what's nice also is that my cameras are in loop mode. They're in that mode now. I don't have to go in there. Okay.
So you just turn them on and go.
Yeah. The one thing that is a pain in the ass is because I externally hardwire them and they don't have batteries in them, it never saves the time and the date. So every time I turn them on, I have to either A, manually set the date in, or I just do what I do and I don't care what the date is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's almost like 000 across the board. I don't care what the date and time is. So, but yeah, it's they're pretty easy. Once you get them kind of set up initially, it's not that bad. So
when you do the hard wire, do you coil the wire up the pole, like around it?
Yeah, on the big one I do. And you kind of have to. And the thing is even with that pole, it's a little on the short side. So when I run that battery, you know how I have that, the old Dakota, I always forget the name of the one in the neoprene pouch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, the Nakwa thing?
No. It's a Dakota Lithium. It's a 20 amp hour battery. And I bought it. It was the original one I bought for my fish finder.
Huh.
And I have a 23 now also, but the 23 goes in my Yak power box. You know, it's wired up like that. And that sits up front so I can hook up my fish finder. But with the, it's got a, you know, two USB ports. So my front facing camera is hooked into that. And there's plenty of cord. You know, there's plenty of cord because I bought the 60 and it's, you know, only maybe 2 feet, if that, away, you know. But that, the boomstick one, the longer one, that thing, I got to use the neoprene covered Dakota Lithium. I can't remember what it's called, dude, offhand. It was right before they had the power box, man. And they discontinued it. But anyways, that thing is super mobile, really. So I can actually set it up and plug it in. But that cord is like, you know, it's right there. It's just fitting it and it just works. It's tight, you know. But I do wrap that around the boomstick too. So
how big is that battery that you're talking about in the neoprene sleeve?
20 amp.
Well, I mean, like size wise.
It's two 10s together, basically glued together. Okay. So
I've never seen that.
You've seen mine. I've showed it to you before. It's
I can't remember.
They don't make it anymore. They don't make that 20 amp hour battery. They just started doing a 23. So but it was discontinued like fairly quickly after I bought it. I think the next year they had stopped making it when they did the power box. So
interesting.
But it works, you know. It's it's a lot of battery power for the camera. Obviously, I don't need that much, but
Vortex 50.
Yep. Okay. Well, it was a Vortex, but it was a 20. So
gotcha. I'm looking at it right now. I found it.
Huh. Yeah. So yep. It, like I said, it's a ton of power for just the GoPro. I use that thing though on my fish finder too. If I want to do. Which I rarely do, but if I want to take the fish finder out on the river, I'll use that instead just because it's smaller, you know, than having the Yak power box and the kayak. So, because it fits real nice up underneath the front in the back of the kayak. So, you know how I have that little overhang area.
Mm-hmm.
So it fits up in there real easy. The only complaint I've ever really had with that battery, though, was I think moisture kind of holds in that neoprene and it's
corroded
my connections. And I think that's it's it was something I fight. Like every season, I'll take those out and clean them off and re-grease those connections, the terminals and stuff. So,
yeah, they send those little grease packets with those batteries, I think.
But yeah, so it's a simple setup. Not really. It's three cameras or four cameras, really. But I've not, you know, I haven't done a lot of stuff with it yet. Like I said, last year kind of fell apart. And so I kind of got away from it. And then this year I've hardly fished. So a lot of times when I've gone out, it's been sort of last minute. So I just pack light and go.
I know, man. We haven't even fished this year.
I haven't even fished a lake this year, dude.
I've hardly fished a lake. I ain't complaining one bit.
But you know, like I went out and I did that tournament. I did the
I wish you had got that on video.
The Little Miami River charity tournament. Oh, you're talking about that one where I did dude, that would have been crazy. You probably wouldn't be able to see much though, because it was fairly dark out still.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the first hour of daylight. The sun had definitely come up, but it would have been a little hard to see, but I mean, I think my reaction the whole time would have been worth it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
In the first 20 minutes of that, I had those 219s on the board. And
that's freaking sweet. Dude, me and Justin got into him this weekend
I saw that, man.
He caught a 19 and 218s in like the first hour. I was like, dang, dude, this is crazy.
What do you catch him on?
Spinnerbait. Disco Lemonade. Shout out to Michael Teach.
Yeah. Dude, I went out with the kids. We didn't last long. They got really bored. And I hooked into a really good fish, actually. And it was on, what was that on? Dude, it was a tank. And it might have been a catfish. I didn't see it. I saw a black tail. And that was all that I saw that came up. And then it popped off. And the lure came shooting back and hit Zachary. He's like, ow. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm waiting. I'm expecting the worst. Like it's pinned to his cheek or something. And it wasn't, but what was that on?
That picture you sent us of them was hilarious.
They were so bored, dude. Like they were sitting there just like laid back. Like, can we go? And I'm like, you know, like we had fished for a little bit and I was really upset because everybody was talking about how good they were doing and I'm expecting to go out there and kill it, you know, and let them reel it in. Whatever I hooked though was huge. Like Zachary couldn't turn the reel. Like he couldn't turn the handle on it. And I felt it and I was like, dude, this is a good fish. And then all of a sudden it just broke off and go ahead.
Was that on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday was awful. I went out for a couple hours. I could not get a bite.
Yeah, it was I don't know, man. Was the water dirtier on Sunday than it was Saturday?
Yep, it was rising.
It was okay. It looked pretty muddy. So I'm trying to it was on a chatterbait, dude. It was on a black and blue chatterbait. And I mean, I had that thing and it was so bright that day.
That's hilarious. I'm
like, hey, let me take a picture of you guys, and they're like, we can't see.
That's
probably ruined my poor kid's vision with one picture, man. I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, the light looks good on him. Hey, you guys, look back here. Let me snap your picture. And they're like, that was all I could get. That was like they look back, and I happened to snap it at the right time when they both look back because. I mean, a millisecond afterwards, they looked away because it was so bright. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
But, I hooked one with a chatterbait, man. I threw that thing for a long time, and the water was so dirty. I mean, I threw a Kytec for a little bit, but I was like, they probably came and really sense that. I ran out of Wicked Willow, so that was sad.
That is sad. I haven't really thrown it much recently.
But I threw a crankbait for a while. I threw top water because when I did the Little Miami River charity tournament, I did get some top water bites. So,
yeah, that's a good river for top water. The Great Miami, I have a hard time with top
that's,
water.
But see, that was what I caught all those fish in the CKF 150 mile was the popper, man. Yeah. That thing was on fire that day. I mean, I hadn't had a top water day like that in forever, and for it to be on the river was just, you know, just brownie points, basically. That just made it better. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
But you got any other questions about the GoPros, man?
Like I said, I don't know much about them. So, I mean, you know, I was just here to listen to your setup.
Yeah, like I said, they just keep getting better each year. You know, if you are looking for a camera, they're notoriously on sale a lot of times right now. It might be hard. I don't know what it's like for the supply chain for GoPro. I would assume it might be tough to get them sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. People might not be buying them just because they are kind of, you know, they're pretty pricey if you're going to buy them, you know. And when I saw them go on sale in the Hero 7, like the Hero 8s and Hero 7s were on sale, I jumped on it. And bought all of them at one time, you know.
I remember because you were like, "Do you want one? I can buy it for you." I'm like, "No, I can't afford it."
But I've always been impressed with the Hero 8. A lot of people talked crap about it. You know, with the voice control stuff, can be kind of a pain to use, especially on a windy day. You know, because I'll be like, GoPro, stop recording. And I look like an idiot because I'm out there yelling to myself, yeah. You know, and then one of them will turn off and the other one won't, you know. So a lot of times I got to kind of turn around and make sure if it shut off or not. But I've had days where the wind is kind of on the lighter side and they're on point. So what is cool too about it is you can actually control them from your phone. You know, you can link them up to the phone and be able to control them that way. I do not know, though, if you're able to – I don't think you can do multiple at the same time. Like, you know, be able to turn them on at the same time using your phone. I think it links up just to one via Bluetooth so the other one can't. So, like I said, usually what I end up doing is I'll set it up before I launch, turn them on, you know, hit record and let them go, because it's going to, you know, with the ones, like if I was doing a chest mount, I would be obviously right there and I could turn it on and off. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah.
So with the ability to hardwire them like that, I'll just turn them on before I even launch, hit record and go, you know. So, and they're waterproof, so it's nice, but you know, it is an investment, and you know, hopefully I'll start doing more video stuff of it. So
I'd like to get one just to make like short clips for Instagram or something, but
yeah, dude. And what's really nice is with the new ones, like it's got good video quality. So like, even if you wanted to shoot, like with the image stability in there, like if I was to do like a product review video with you, and we had like somewhere that was relatively quiet, like it'd probably come out pretty good. You know what I mean? I don't think we'd have complaints, because I know you've shot your ones before with your wife's camera, and that's a good camera, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that I've always been big on and is I like good quality imaging, but I think in my biggest like gripe, if I ever watch a fishing video or whatever, is the sound. Like I don't, there's nothing worse than where it sounds like shit.
Like,
or if you can barely hear the person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? You know, I can't hear them. It's real muffled or, you know, whatever. There's an echo or whatever. That'll just drive me crazy. Like,
yeah.
And I'll take bad quality video over bad quality audio. So That's the one thing I want to make sure that I set up good. Cause I've thought about doing like a wireless mic and then getting like, you know, like a wind thing for it. I don't even know, windscreens, whatever, they're little furry things. and wiring it, right, and having the pack on my PFD, but like have the wire and maybe pin, I'd like to try it. I don't know how well it worked, but maybe pin the mic on the inside of my hat. Like maybe that would shield, but then I'd be afraid of, you know, is it going to rub? I don't think it would rub. You know what I mean? But
oh, I got you.
And that wire would be kind of weird, maybe. But hell, dude,
it'd get like a CSI thing that goes behind your ear.
Right, I look like, you know, secret agent Yakker.
That's funny. But now, yeah, I'm with you on the freaking sound quality, though. I'm like that with podcasts. If there's a podcast and there's like a guest that has bad quality, I'll turn it off. I'm like, I can't do it.
And here's the other cool thing, man. Like, so you have your camera arm still?
Yeah.
So I could give, because I have four, like if we went out, I could give you two of them to use. It's not like I need to have, you know, four cameras, you know, by any means. And, or, you know, be like, here, use this camera today, set it up, you know, and off you go, dude. And it's, you know, we can get both perspectives throughout the day. And
that'd be cool.
So
can you hook that to the same battery you have a fish finder hooked up to? Would that be possible?
Yeah.
It won't cause any interference or something stupid?
I don't think so. I don't think the draw is big enough to do that. So
makes sense. Yeah. I figured a GoPro would last, I don't know, like 12 days on a 10 amp hour battery.
Yeah, dude. Like on my, even more. I mean, I know some guys who use like a smaller kind of battery pack. There's a dude in Kentucky. I can't remember his name. He went over how he set his up, and he set his up. He's got like a battery pack, and I don't know what the amp hour is because he did it in like, it was in thousands. So I don't think it was like 20 amp hour. It was like something kind of different. But he has solar things, so it charges that battery constantly, you know?
Yeah, you're talking about, because me and Jimmy did an episode about this stuff once before.
Yeah.
And he had a battery pack called Anchor, I think, and it was in some different kind of units, milliamps or something, maybe.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But so yeah, there's all kinds of different ways to rig them up. You know, I would just say if you want to run an external, you know, hardwire power source like that, make sure that you get a good, you know, waterproof case that, you know, is worth it, because, you know, buying.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Buying those two cases, granted, they were $50 to $60 a piece, but I was like, you know, I'd rather spend that than ruin a $300 camera. So,
yeah. Hear that? But
yeah. So far, thumbs up for me. I've loved the picture quality, love the stability in it. You know, it works well. The voice control stuff can be a little hit or miss, but overall, like, I've been pretty happy with it. So,
I'd like to try the Tacticam too, just to see.
The one thing I like about the GoPro though is being able to view like that camera angle as I'm setting it up. You know what I mean? Like, and so like I can turn it on and
with your phone.
Yeah, I can do it like that, or like, you know, it's even got, you know, it's got a viewfinder, a big ass viewfinder on the backside of it. So like as I'm setting it up, running it, and, you know, turning everything on, I can see, do I like this angle before I launch, you know? I mean, you could run it obviously through your phone too. So if you needed to make an adjustment while out on the water, you can do that as well, you know? But the problem with that is, especially with the boom one, you're having to like adjust it and look, and then like being like, oh, I don't like that, you know, and you've locked it into place. So you got to kind of make an adjustment. And it's hard to reach out, you know, to do that on the big boomstick style camera mount. But on the little one, it's no issues whatsoever. So You know, I try not to do the infamous crotch shop.
Yeah, that drives me nuts too.
But
there was one other thing real quick. I think it's GoPro. Somebody had a crazy video recently I saw, and like the GoPro was moving towards them fighting the fish, and it kept like, do you know what that is?
So yeah, I think that is a, it's probably that the 360 GoPro. There's been two versions that came out. They made a major improvement to what the other one was. But what that does is basically shooting 360 degrees, basically almost all the way around you. And so if you are catching a fish, that's not the camera doing that. That's probably the editing, and you're able to zero in on that. So it's able to, you know, capture that, and you can kind of mess with the image itself in the editing process. The camera's not physically doing that while you're out on the water.
I was about to say, because I was like, he was fighting it, and then all of a sudden it like zoomed in on the fish. Yeah. I was like, whoa, that was cool.
Yeah, I think that's what that is. I'm not 100% sure, but I'd be willing to bet on it. So
gotcha.
All righty, dude. You good?
I am good. I'm just looking at the price of this thing.
Yeah, that 360 is pretty expensive.
$549, I think. It's actually $399 right now.
Yeah, there was a version that came out when I bought my Hero 8, and the thing that I heard that was a little weird about it was that it wasn't very compatible with your standard video editing software. Like it was hard to, something weird about, I don't know, maybe tying it in with the, if you had other cameras, or that the file format was weird. I don't know. Like it was almost like you had to use GoPro's editing software or something like that. Like, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I just remember reading something to that effect. And that's why I kind of avoided it. 'Cause I actually considered using that as buying one for the front facing stuff, and I ended up not doing it. So
interesting.
But the new one, from what I understand, is much more improved, and that could be like one camera kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like you may not need to buy multiple camera angles. Like that thing, if it's recording basically in a 360 degree pattern, that's all you need, you know?
Yeah.
And, it, from what I understand, it's pretty sweet. I think Kurt Smith has one, if I remember correctly now. I can't remember, but I thought he said he got one or was going to get one. But I know Alan Reed has one, so.
I haven't even seen much of him lately.
Yeah, he's I kind of think it took a little hiatus from stuff. But. All righty, man. Well, good episode. I don't know how we turned it into 50 minutes, but we did.
It's all good. Like I said, even if it's 30 minutes, it's fine. I don't know.
We'll get out, dude, and we'll mess around with these some more, hopefully in the future, or at least next season or whatever.
Do some winter fishing, man.
Yeah, I'd like to do that too. So that'd be kind of cool video.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Hopefully these things run good in cold weather. And that was the one thing I haven't done. So,
oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks again for listening to the final cast, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.